All right, here we're starting at the bottom of Kuf Chedem Adbet by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hamigareshet Daisha Vechzira, person who divorces a woman and then takes her back, Muteret the Yavam. The woman is then permitted to the Yavam. The Hava Mina being, as Rashi states over here, Lo Amrina Nisuin Harishonim Mapilim Yavamalifnei Yavam. We don't say that the original marriage was the thing that brought this woman into the picture of Yibum, and therefore once he divorced her, that already made her asur to the Yavam. And then when he takes her back, you can't change that. But rather, we say that they are separate, in a sense, separate marriages. And that only the second marriage is what drives the Yibum over here. And therefore, she is Eshet Achiv. And he can perform Yibum with her. The divorce that happened in the interim has no bearing on his relationship with this woman. And he can perform Yibum. Rabbi Lazar Oser. On the other hand, Rabbi Lazar says that is problematic, and the Gemara will explain why that is. Chena migareshet yitoma ve'echzira muteret yavam. Same thing is true with regards to a yitoma. That means a ktana who is being married off by her mother or brother. It means we have kedushin dirabanan. In that case, if she was divorced from her husband and then returned to her husband, there muteret yavam. There you're dealing again with both on the level derabanan. He was married to her in the first place, midirabanan, divorced her, and then remarried her, midirabanan. So she's still a ketana now, and then when the yibum takes place, it's almost the exact same scenario, just on the rabbinic level versus what we saw before on the deoraita level. And therefore, muteret yavam, she can have yibum performed by hitup with her by the yavam. Rabbi Lazar Oser, again, Rabbi Lazar says no go. But here, the third case. Ktana shesi avia. Ktana that was married off by her father. Vinit gersha. Then she is divorced. So the original marriage is a marriage d'oraita, because her father has the right to marry her off. Once she's a ktana, mi d'oraita. So he married her off. Then she got a divorce, which terminates that marriage mi d'oraita. Then she becomes ki yitoma b'chayav. She becomes like a living orphan, even though her father is still alive. She becomes an orphan because her father no longer has control over her. And she's a ktana who doesn't have any ability to consummate transactions. And here, the acceptance of the gerushin by whom terminates that marriage d'oraita. Over here, Rashi says, v'kibela via gita. Her father accepted her get, and that's what terminates the marriage. You hear, see the Rabbi Kiva Eger, it's not so clear that the father has that right to take the get back. It might be that she receives the get, and that's what terminates the marriage d'oraita. And that's why she has to be able to be shomer atzma. If she can't be shomer atzma, then you can't divorce her because she can't receive or accept the get to divorce her bal korcha. So there's some controversy about who accepts the get to terminate the marriage d'oraita by the father, whether it's the father who receives the get back or the daughter herself. But either way, you can terminate that marriage d'oraita with a get, and then the marriage is over, mi d'oraita. Then she becomes a yitoma b'chayav, and then you have a din d'rabbanon only until she becomes a gdola. But then v'echzira. Then the original husband takes her back. So the original marriage was d'oraita. The second marriage now is only mi d'rabbanan. There, divrei hakol asura liyavam. There, everybody agrees that he cannot marry her because after he marries her the second time, midirabanan, if he passes away and then it falls to the Yavam, from the perspective of the Torah, there was only one marriage here. That was the first marriage, and that marriage ended in divorce. So as far as the Torah is concerned, this is Eshet Achiv Shenit Gersha. It's his brother's wife who got divorced, and that he's not allowed to be married to her. That's an Erva. There's no permission for Eshet Achiv Shenit Gersha to have Yibum perform with her. The rabbinic marriage afterwards cannot override the reality d'oraita. The reality d'oraita, this is the divorcee of his brother, and she's not entitled to yibum over here. So in this case, even the Tanakhama, even the Chachamim agree that there will be no yibum in this instance. So Amar Aifa, my time with Rabbi Elazar. What is the reasoning behind Rabbi Elazar's position here where he's oser in all the other cases of the Mishnah? Hoel v'amda lav shachat bisura. Basically, because at some point in time, she became asur to him. She was Eshet Achiv, then got divorced, which generates an isur at that point in time. Then, when she remarries, that isur doesn't go away. So, Amar Rabbanan Aifa, Yochi Chalitza Nami Lo Tibai. If you are correct about that, then Rabbi Elazar should require not only that you do not perform Yibum, but also that you do not necessitate Chalitza. Basically, she should be Erva Mina Torah, and there should be no necessity for any interaction between them. And if you say, yeah, you're right. That's not the case. Vatanya. Mishom Rabbi Elazar Amru. We have Rabbi Elazar's opinion with regards to this. Choletzet. That she does perform Chalitza over here. If they're performing Chalitza over here, it can't be that this is an Erva Midoraita. Erva Midoraita would clear everything up, and there'd be no ability for Yibum, no necessity for Chalitza. The fact that it requires Chalitza already will not sustain the explanation that you are proposing over here. El Arma Aifa, Rabbi Elazar, lo yadana mai taima. So then Aifa says, you know what? I really don't know what Rabbi Elazar's opinion is. I don't know why he has this opinion. So I'm Rabbi, hainu taima de Rabbi Elazar. So now we'll have a Bayi try, and we'll have two more Amarayim after this, try to explain the position of Rabbi Elazar. Misveikalei to Rabbi Elazar. E, mita mapelet, inisuin rishonim mapilim. Whether the generator of the chiyuv of Yibum over here, is that caused by the death of her husband? Is that what triggers the process of Yibum? And therefore we take a look at the moment of death. What is the situation around us? Who's an erva? Who's related? Who's not related? That's the only thing that matters. Or do we say the original marriage, the original relationship between this brother and this woman, that's what drives the Yibum over here? Imita mapelet. If death is the generator or the precipitator of the Yibum, Haramia Kameli Yibum, then you can have Yibum now, because at the moment of death, she was married to his brother, which makes her Ra'ui Li Yibum, and he could have married her. Inisuin Rishonim Apilin, Hamdalav Shachad Vi Isur. But if the Nisuin Rishonim are what caused, then there was a time of Isur. Now this is interesting, because here we're saying that the Nisuin Rishonim go back to the original marriage, not to the second marriage when he's Machzir Grushato. Which is interesting, because once there was a divorce, that should have terminated their relationship. And then when he restarted the relationship, it was Mutar for his brother, it should also be open to Yibum from here. But what we're suggesting here is that the original marriage, at the moment of marriage, that generated a Chiyuv Yibum. That Chiyuv Yibum, at the time of Gerushin, then became problematic, and there became an Isur. Now, when he goes back and remarries her, even if you say it comes back to Heter, since there was a Shah Chad V'Isur, that causes it to be eliminated completely, and therefore there is no Yibum anymore. Rava Amar, Dolam Pshita L'Rabbi Elazar Demita Mapelet. Now, he disagrees with Abai. Rabbi Elazar is not faced with this uncertainty about whether there's Yibum here because Mita Mapelet, or no Yibum because there is Nisuin Rishonim, and therefore he demands Chalitza and no Yibum. Chalitza in case Mita is Mapelet, no Yibum because in case Nisuin Rishonim are generating it. Rava says no. Rabbi Elazar believes Mita Mapelet. Umiu Hakol Bikiin BeGerushin Veinu Kol Bikiin BeChazara. Everybody knows about the divorce. Not everybody knows about the remarriage. So everybody knows that she divorced this husband. And now we're going to see the brother performing Yibum. People are going to come to the conclusion that you can perform Yibum with a Grusha. Rabbi Elazar is Gozer in this case, not to have Yibum be performed, only Chalitza, because of fear that people will think that Mina Gerushin, you can have a Yivama. The truth is that she remarried the husband, and that's what generates it. Where it says, Adraba, Chazara came into Yatva today, Itle Kalo. Wait a minute, which is more well known? The divorce? Or the remarriage? In the remarriage, she's living with him. She's in his household. It's much more obvious that she returned to him and that they now have a new marriage. That's something to be more likely publicized or well known amongst the public, because she's living with him. She's in his house. Versus the Gerushin, where it says that's not always the case. Milo Askinan, isn't there a possibility of Makzir Grushato, even in this case, the Hadra Beurta? He remarried her that night. Vishachim Vitzafra, and he died the next morning. The next morning he passed away, so nobody knows that he took her back. The brothers know, the local, the family knows that he remarried her, but the public at large has no idea that he remarried her. So if you allow her to go now be a Yivama and marry one of the brothers, people are going to think from the Gerushin she went to being a Yivama. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar goes there because of this case. Exera against the case of Machzir Grushato from being a Yivama. Ravashi Amar Hainim Taima. So here's our fourth explanation of Rabbi Lozer's position. The Rabbi Lozer, Gedazar Hani Mishum Yitoma B'Chayav V'Chzira. The Gzeira in the other two cases is because of the third case in the Mishnah. The Mishnah has three cases. The first case is marriage Doraita, divorce me Doraita, remarriage me Doraita. Second case is marriage me the Rabbanan, divorce me the Rabbanan, remarriage me the Rabbanan. The third case is marriage Doraita, divorce me Doraita, marriage the Rabbanan. That case is clearly Asur. So what Ravashi suggests is that case causes us now to be Osir, according to Rabbi Lozer, in the other two cases. Even though in the other two cases there's nothing to worry about because it was Doraita, Doraita, or the Rabbanan, nevertheless, because of the fear of the case of Doraita, the Rabbanan, therefore we said Asur in all of these scenarios. So Hachanami Mistavra, Gemara supports Ravashi's explanation here by saying that it makes sense. Migdani Seifa, because the last case in the Mishnah is Ktana, Shisi Aviyah, Benit Gersha, Ki Yitoma Bechayav, Bechzira, Divya Kosha, Surali Yavam. Hi, Maila Memra. What's this doing here? Of course that's the case. Pshita, what of you would have thought? Why would you have thought she's Mutar in that case? It's clear that as far as the Torah is concerned, she's a divorcee from his brother, and there's no Yibum over here. Why would a marriage de Rabbanan in any way override the Isser Erva Midoraita? There's just no way that could be. Why does the Mishnah have to tell us that case? It's an obvious case. Elalav Hakamash Malan. Why is it writing us that last case or telling us that last case, which is clearly obvious? Time of the Rabbi Lazar, the Gazar Hanach, Mishom Hai. That's why it's written there to tell you. This is the premise for the Isur of Rabbi Lazar in the previous two cases. Shma Mina. So therefore, the last case, which is an obvious halachic outcome, the Mishnah wrote it nevertheless to teach you that that was the premise for Rabbi Lazar's Isur in the first two cases of the Mishnah. Tanya Kavate de Ravashi. We have a brayta that supports Ravashi's explanation here, which is, Modim chachamim le'el Balazar b'ktana she'asi avia v'nit gasha harihi ki yotoma b'chayav v'chzira she'asura li'avam mipnei she'gerusha gerushim gimurim v'en chazarata chazara gimura. So here you have the chachamim being model of Rabbi Lazar, like we saw in our Mishnah, that's Divrei Hakol. By Ktana that was married off by her father and then divorced because she becomes a yotoma b'chayav. And the Gerushin that took place were Gerushin Midoraita, but the taking back of her was only a taking back Midir Rabbanan. And therefore, there will be no Yibum over here. Bamed Dvar Memurim, Shigirsha, Shigtana. If he divorced her when she was still a Ktana, Vekzira, and then took her back, Kishigtana, when she's still a Ktana. Aval Girsha, Shigtana. If he divorces her when she's a Ktana, which has the Doraita impact of Gerushin, Vekzirak Shigdola, and then he remarries her when she's already of age, then he can marry her or take her back, Midoraita, Inami, Hekzirak Shigtana, Vigadla Itzlo. Or he takes her back when she was a Ktana and stays with him till he becomes of age, Umeit, then he dies, Ocholetzet, Omitya Bemet. In that case, you can form Or Chalitza or Yibum, because in that case, the divorce Doraita was then offset by a haksara Doraita. She was then taken back Doraita, either because he married her again or took her back only after she was of age, or after the marriage to the Ktana, which is only Derabanan, he sustained that marriage through her becoming of age, which then consummates it Midoraita. Either way, now you have a haksara Midoraita, and that will override the Geushin Doraita. So in that case, you can have Yibum or Chalitza. Mishum Rabbi Elazar Amaru, Choletzet, Velo Mitya Bemet. But Rabbi Elazar believes, in that case you do Chalitza, and not Yibum. So you see two things. First of all, Modei Chachamim. Chachamim agree to Rabbi Elazar in this case. So in this case, they agree to him that this is the Halacha. But then, in the subsequent cases that are brought in the Braita, where there's an offset Midoraita to the Gerushin Doraita, the Chachamim say, go through with the Yibum, no problem. Yet, Rabbi Lazar says there is a problem. Why does Rabbi Lazar say there's a problem? Because he goes there up to the case where the remarriage is only midrabanan, only with a ktana. And you see from that, from the nature of the way that the bright is laid out, which is b'mid dvarim mamurim. When is this true? When it's that case. But Rabbi Lazar says, no, it's not only in that case, it's also in these two cases, which seems to mean that it's an extrapolation or a gzeirah up to that first case. That first case where everybody agrees it's asur, the subsequent two cases, Rabbi Lazar maintains are as serene because of the first case. See, Rashi says that begadla etzlo stam biya rishona mishigadla kiddushin hein. The stam biya that she does, and when she comes of age, that becomes the kiddushin midoraita, because she never had kiddushin deraita, she had kiddushin derabanan, and that'll be both the kiddushin and the nisuin for this woman once she becomes of age. All right. So now the Gemara asks, by mine rova mi Rav Nachman, sarata mahu. What about the co-wife of this woman? Amarle, he gufa gzera. She herself is already a problem gzera. Anonikum nigzor gzera gzera. So obviously, according to the Chachamim, it's not an issue. Because the only time the Chachamim say it's a problem is where there was a divorce doraita and a marriage midorabanan. In that case, she's clearly a sur midoraita. It's an erba midoraita. And erba midoraita is puter, the co-wife. So for the Chachamim, there's no question that the co-wife is patur. The question is according to Rabbi Elazar. According to Rabbi Elazar, in the first two cases where marriage doraita, divorce midoraita, then again another marriage midoraita, or in the case where it was marriage midorabanan, divorce midorabanan, marriage midorabanan, where Rabbi Elazar says asur because it looks like the case where it was marriage doraita, divorce midoraita, and marriage midorabanan. Over there, you do chalitza and no yibum. That's what Rabbi Elazar says. But what about her co-wife? Does this also apply to her co-wife? We're only disqualifying her because of the optics of the divorce and then the return. But had it not been for that, this would have been a good marriage. Even midoraita, it would have been just fine for the Yibum to be performed over here had it not been for the Gzera. So does the Gzera extend beyond this woman herself to the Tzara, to the co-wife as well? Or is the co-wife independent? So Rav Nachman's answer is, wait a minute, the whole issue here for Rabbi Elazar is a gzeira. Now you're going to hit her co-wife as well? That's going to be a gzeira, the gzeira. Where it says, V'atanya mishum Rabbi Elazar amru, he, v'tzarata, choletzet. She and her co-wife do chalitza. So Gemara says, he, v'tzarata, tzalkadatcha. Why would they both have to do chalitza? Whenever you have co-wives, only one of them has to act in order to terminate the yibum. Elalav, ohi, otzarata, choletzet. Well, what does it mean? It means that either she or her co-wife has to perform chalitza here. One of the two of them needs to perform chalitza over here. So the Gemara says, or Rav Nachman says back to Rava, lav tirutze kemetaritz. Wait a minute. You're already emending this brayta. You're telling us that the brayta is not a good brayta or a valid brayta because you're already telling me that what the brayta said makes no sense. They both don't need chalitza. So you reinterpret, emend the brayta to read one or the other does chalitza. Well, Taritochi, if you're already going to amend it, let me amend it so it works my way, which is, he choletzet, she can do chalitza, tzarata, o choletzet, o mitya bemet. And her co-wife can either do chalitza or yibum. You can't prove anything from this brayta, because the brayta itself is nonsensical, unless you reinterpret the words. You reinterpreted it to make it look like the tzara could only do chalitza. I'll reinterpret it to say that the chalitza can do, the tzara could either do chalitza or yibum. So in this brayta, you have no evidence to that fact. And so the way that Rav Nachman views this is that she herself is a gzeira. We're not going to make a gzeira the gzeira because of tzarata atuhi, which is she's already gzeira because of yitoma b'cheyav. Now you're going to make the tzara a gzeira because of her, who's a gzeira because of yitoma b'cheyav, and that we're not going to do because then it's a gzeira the gzeira. Right, now that's according to the reasoning of Rav Ashi. But the problem here is that the questioner in this case is Rava. And Rava had a different opinion. What did Rava say? Rava said that people may not know about the Chazara. They may know about the Girushin and not about the Chazara. So therefore, according to Rava, the reason that we don't let her do Yibum is because of this Gzeira. Maybe they won't know about him remarrying her. So that's the original Gzeira. Whereas then you can extend that Gzeira to say that there's also this woman or the tzara is included on it. That's already gzeira, the gzeira. Because the fact that she's restricted is only gzeira derbanan because maybe people didn't hear about her remarriage to this individual. And then it'll be optically problematic. So then you're going to make gzeira on her tzara and her co-wife as well. And so that's how Tosafot explains the gzeira here. Rashi explains it in the Shita of Ravashi, but Tosafot says that's not right because it's Rova here. You have to be consistent in the position of Rova, and therefore this is the gzeira has to do with the knowledge about the return of this woman to her original husband. And next Mishnah. Shnei achim nisuim l'shtei achayot. Two brothers married to two sisters, ktanot. They are yitomot ktanot. They are yitomot that are ktanot, meaning that you have here marriages midrabanan. Umeit bala shel achat mehen. and one of their husbands passes away, the other one then is dismissed because of chotisha, meaning that you have two marriages midrabanan, the obligation of Yibamir is only midrabanan, and the erva is an erva midrabanan. So the erva midrabanan can dismiss the Yibam midrabanan. And this will be similar to if two brothers marry two sisters midoraita, so too if one of the brothers passes away, the wife goes out without anything because she is achot ishto. So over here, she's achot ishto midrabanan, and all the obligations are only midrabanan, so she'll be let go without anything. V'chein shtei chereshot gidola uktana. The two chereshot, one who is of age, one who is a ktana. Meit bala shel ktana. If the husband of the ktana passes away, teitzei ktana mishum achot isha. Then the ktana would be released because of the marriage of the gdola to the brother. Meit bala shel gdola. On the other hand, if the husband of the woman who's of age then passes away, now you're dealing with a predicament, which is not so easy to deal with, and we'll see this. The Gra eliminates this whole second part of the Mishnah, because the Mishnayot in the Perek HaCheresh VeChereshet deals with these situations. The problem here is that you're dealing with two marriages that are derabanan. A marriage to Ktana is midrabanan. A marriage to a Chereshet is also only midrabanan. Now, that marriage to the Chereshet, which is midrabanan, it's clear from the Mishnah here that the marriage to the Chereshet, midrabanan, has more power, because she's a Gdola, than the marriage to a Ktana. And so we're saying this more powerful midrabanan is going to override the weaker derabanan. But how do you know that? That's what the Mishnah should be debating or discussing over here. The Mishnah takes it for granted. And therefore, the Gra eliminates this whole second half of the Mishnah and says, we'll deal with this issue in the subsequent Perek. But if you don't, if you have the girsa like we have here, then you have to assume that the situation is that this chereshet gedola who's married to this individual has a stronger marriage than the brother who's married to the ktana. And so because of that, if the husband of the ktana passes away, the ktana goes out without anything, but she's achot ishto. On the other hand, if it's the reverse, where the husband of the gedola, the chereshet gedola passes away, now you're faced with a problem because there's a much stronger marriage with the chereshet gedola. And then you have the ktana. So the ktana's marriage is only midrabanan. It can be eliminated or dissolved at any time. So do we force that dissolution of the marriage in order to have the yibum performed over here? And that's the machloket tanaim here. So what do we have here? Rabbi Eliezer Omer, malamdim et ktana shetima'in bo. We teach the ktana to do miyun, because if we teach her to do miyun, she reverses retroactively the whole marriage, as if she was never married to this brother. Once she does that, then he can marry his brother's wife, because there's no longer achot ishto, because he eliminated her. He was never married to this woman, and now he can marry the chereshet gedola. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, im miyana, miyana. If she does miyun, then fine. That is the outcome. Bim lav. If not, tamtin ashit tagdil. We wait until the ktana comes of age. B'teitzel azum isham achot isha. And then by definition, the other wife, meaning the chereshet gedola, will be dismissed because now she's achot ishto. What it means, tamtin ashit tagdil v'teitzei alazum ishum achot isha, it's a question of who it's referencing. Who is waiting until she gets older? Is it the ktana has to wait until she becomes of age for her husband to have bi'ah with her, meaning that he's restricted in having bi'ah with her until she becomes of age, where he can consummate do'oraita? Once he's consummated do'oraita, then automatically the other one falls away. Or is that the reference to the chereshet gedola? She may not go and marry a third party until this ktana grows up and has bi'ah, because then they have a consummation doraita and then she's dismissed midoraita. So who is it telling here to wait? Is it telling the ktana to wait to have bi'ah with her husband until she's of age? Or is it telling the yivama to wait until this girl comes of age so then she'll be dismissed automatically, but she can't marry until that point in time? So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yoshua Omer, he has a third opinion, which is, Ilo al ishto, Ilo al ishet achiv, which is, Oilo, woe to him on his wife, and woe to him on his yivama. Motziyat ishto beget, he has to divorce the ktana with a gedet, vishet achiv al chalitza, he has to do chalitza with the brother's wife, because he has to divorce his wife, because she's only married him de rabbanan, and you have this chereshet gedola, has a stronger marriage coming in, so he has to divorce his wife, but he also can't marry the yivama now, because that's achot grushato. Achot grushato is problematic optically, so therefore he only does chalitza, not yibum, and he loses everything in this situation. In the Mishnah, Rashi explains that Rabbi Gamliel's position is Ein Zika. So since there's Ein Zika, or the Zika is not strong enough, that's why she's allowed to wait. The Zika here is not strong enough to undermine the marriage to the Ktana. Since that Zika is not strong enough, you can wait until she becomes of age, and then consummate the marriage midoraita, and that'll eliminate whatever little Zika there is that exists in this case. On the other hand, Rabbi Yoshua believes that there is a Zika here. Since there is a Zika here, that Zika causes all the problem. The Cheresh and Gedola, when she becomes the Yevama, has a Zika with him. So now he has his wife, who is Achot Zikukato. On the other hand, he has the Yevama, who is Achot Yishto, or will be Achot Gerushato. So that's what causes the whole mess. And according to Rabbi Shu, you have to divorce one and do chalitza with the other because of the strength of the Zika over here. So now the Gemara says, Umishari, is this really mutar? What does that mean? Is it mutar? Rashi says, Lamed ktanat shutimain. To teach a ktanat to do miyun. So what we suggested over here is, according to Rabbi Lozer, is that the ktanat, or Rabbi Lozer, is that, Rabbi Lozer, is that we teach the ktanat to do miyun. Vatani bar kapara. A person should do these three things and not do these other three things. What are the three things you should hang out with? B'chalitza, u'b'havat shalom, u'b'hafarat nidarim. That he should perform chalitza. He should bring peace between different people or try to engender peace. B'hafarat nidarim, and he should nullify, whether this means hafara in the sense of father and husband, or hatarat nidarim is what it means, to get an unwinding of nidarim. V'itrachek mishlosha dvarim, he should distance himself from three things, is mina meyun, from the cause, the possibility of a ktana doing meyun, umina pikdonot, accepting items to be watched, meaning that you become the guardian of some precious item or monies for another party, umina ervanot, and being a guarantor on a loan. So the Gemara says, Meyon de mitzvah shiny. Where there's a mitzvah to do Meyon, that's different. So the Gemara assumes here that you shouldn't be performing Meyon. So if you don't perform Meyon, why are we telling this girl to go ahead and do Meyon in order to solve the problem over here? If she comes to Beit Din and wants to do Meyon, Beit Din will take her case up and deal with it. But we're not going to encourage her to do Meyon. We try to avoid Meyon as much as possible. We don't want dissolution of marriages like this. It's not the best situation or solution over here. So we try to avoid it. Look, if it's necessary and we have to, we'll deal with it. But we're not going to encourage a girl to do it. Gemara says here, no, that's the idea. Rabbi Lozer says this is a mitzvah over here. When you do the meyun over here, you make accessible the yibum. So you're doing it in order to get to the mitzvah of yibum. So in the case of mitzvah of yibum, there we will allow meyun, or we will push meyun in that case. Now, as far as these items are concerned, what the relationship between them is not clear. We'll see now in a second, the Gemara is going to explain each one of them and why. There are two shitot, the Marsha brings one of them, the Muka Yosef brings the other, which are two approaches to why these, or what the relationship between these items are. Either, each of the cases has a mitigating factor. A mitigating factor would have made you think the opposite. And then, despite that, this is the din that Bar Kapara brings. That might be the common denominator between these six items. Or the possibility is that these three items, the first three items, are the opposite of the second three items. And that each one of them is an offsetting variable to the first one. Okay, so those are the two possibilities, and now we'll go through them and explain that. So now the Gemara says, Gufa. Tani bar kapara lolam yidbak adam shlosha dvarim, b'chalitza k'aba shol. The reason that he says that one should take up chalitza over yibum is because of Abba Shol. The Tani Abba Shol omer koneset yivim tol l'shem noy. Person who marries his Yevama for her beauty, l'shem yishut, or for company, l'shem davar acher, for any other reason besides l'akim shem l'achiv, kilu pogea be'erva. It's as if he is marrying an erva yishut achiv, v'karov be'inai liyot avlad mamzer. And it's almost as if the child born of that marriage would be a mamzer. It's not literally a mamzer, because he's doing the mitzvah the Torah laid out. But because his motives are questionable, or he has ulterior motives over here, that is not the type of yibum that we want, and we would prefer you to do chalitza in that case rather than perform yibum. So like I said before, here you have a mitigating factor. Performing chalitza means that you're giving up yibum. There's a mitzvah of yibum. So you would have thought, do the mitzvah of yibum better than chalitza. Along comes Bar Kapara and says, no, that's like Abba Shol, better to do chalitza than yibum. So that's the case where, I said there is a mitigating factor, but yet we still say do chalitza. Bavat Shalom, How do we know that one should try to bring peace between different parties or to be a peaceful person? Because it says, Bakesh Shalom v'radfeyu. One should search for peace and then chase after it. V'amar Rabbi Abahu atya redifa redifa. We have Xerishava redifa redifa. K'tiv halcha Bakesh Shalom v'radfeyu. One should chase after shalom and seek it. Uchtiv haltam, and it says over there, Rodef tztaka v'chosid, yimtza chayim tztaka v'chavod. One who chases after tztaka and gmilut chasadim, he will find life, tztaka, and kavod. So Rashi over here says, based on the Gemara, that is a tashlum schar gadol. That's a great payoff. Just like we know, we say every morning in the Birkat HaTorah when we bring the Brayta Shavuot Shalom Ben Adam LeChaviro is something that you're Ochel Perutem Olam Hazeh Karen Kayem at the Olam Haba. Similar over here, the pasuk that we brought is Yimtza Chayim Tztaka BeOlam Haba UChavod BeOlam Hazeh. Rashi says that the three pieces of reward over here are divided up into Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, and that's what it means: Yimtza Chayim Tztaka BeOlam Haba and Kavod BeOlam Hazeh. It's based on the Gemara's drasha in Kiddushim with regards to this. Now, Tosafot asks on this, why do you need the redifa redifa? Because the pasuk itself, you're familiar with the pasuk, that paragraph begins, Mi ha'ish ha'chafetz chayim. Who is the one who wants life? So there, what's after that? Then the Netzor L'shon Chameira, Sumeira v'asei tov, Bakei shalom v'rad feyu. That's under that koteret. It's under that heading of, who is the one who loves life? Achavetz Chaim. So Tosafot asks, what do I need to have this Gzer Shava, Redifa, Redifa? I would have known that from Miish Achavetz Chaim. So Tosafot says, first of all, maybe not, because Hachaktiv, Tztaka, Chaim, V'Kavod, Dolav, and Afklan, Mehaukra. Over here, this idea of the two pieces, that when there is a reward B'Olam Hazeh and a reward B'Olam Haba, that comes out of the Gzer Shava, Redifa, Redifa. If I just had Miyaisha Chafetz Chaim, then I would have thought that's the only reward here. It's only Chaim. Now you'd have to determine, is that Chaim B'Olam Hazeh or Chaim B'Olam Haba, but you won't get both. The Pasuk Redifa Redifa, the Gzer Shavah teaches me I get both items over here. So that's the reason that we brought the Gzer Shavah and didn't rely on the Pasuk that's found in that Perek Tehillim. The other answer that Tosfos gives is that because it's separated, Miyaisha Chafetz Chaim to Bakei Shalom Refeyu would say that there's other things in between, and those other things mean that everything gets this. When you do all of these things, then you get the reward, not if you just do one of them, and therefore we wouldn't have known it. So that's why we need the Gzer Shavah Redifa Redifa. Now again, over here, why is there a Havamina that you shouldn't be Havat Shalom? Because Bar Kapara believes that one is allowed to lie for Shalom. You can tell an untruth sometimes in order to keep the peace. So then that's a mitigating factor. I would have thought better not to lie. The answer is no. Havat Shalom is worth a lot. It's so powerful that it'll override the restriction against lying or telling a small untruth in order to preserve the peace. So now, Havarat Nidarim. How about nullifying or Hatarat Nidarim, unwinding your Nidarim? Rabbi Natan. The Tanya, Rabbi Natan, Omer no der, one who takes a neder, kilu bana bama. It's as if he built an independent Mizbeach Mizman Isra Bamot. And the one who keeps it, as if he brought a korban on top of it. So again, the mashal is that you build a bama, b'izman isra b'mot, you think you're doing something good. You're bringing a korban to Hashem, you think you're doing something good. So you build a bama. Well, bama is asur. So even though it looks like you're doing something good, it's still problematic. But not only did you build a bama, you went and made it even worse by bringing a korban on it. You add an isra on top of it. So that's the same thing by the neder. By the neder, you thought you were doing something good by taking the neder. But the truth is, it wasn't really good, because taking the nidarim is not a good thing. And then on top of that, if you're not matir the neder and you mekayim the neder, then you just added bad on top of bad. You could have done a teret nidarim, instead you were mekayim the neder. That's why it's compared to ilu kigrave korban. So if you brought a korban on the bama. So that's the comparison that's brought by the Ran and the nidarim, where the sugya is, that's how he explains this mashal. So again, over here, this is something that you were thought is good. Taking a neder, that's a good thing. It sets up boundaries. It gives you impetus for doing things. So the guy says, no, better not to take a neder. Better to do hatarat nedarim, which is the unwinding of a neder, than keeping the neder. So even though keeping the neder seems like a great thing, nevertheless, we tell you better to do hatarat nedarim than to keep the neder. Now, one should stay away from these three things. Mina meyunin should stay away from miyun. Dilma gadla umicharta ba. Because maybe she'll get older and regret having done it. Meaning that if she, the rejection here is that she walks away. If later on when she becomes a gdola, she really regrets having done that, then it's somewhat questionable whether the meyun really was a meyun because she regrets it later on. You don't want to be involved in situations like that because that's going to cause all sorts of complexities and problems with regards to meyun. You should know that because we don't want meyun to be performed, therefore, in halacha, or brought down the halacha, we discourage marriages to aktana. Because marriages to aktana can lead to meyun. So in order to avoid the problem of meyun, we try to avoid marriages to aktana. And according to some of the Rishonim, they're using even a cherim against marrying aktana because of this. Because of the fact that we discourage meyun, we also discourage a marriage to aktana. And therefore nobody marries aktana today, even though the Rabbanan had endorsed it. Back then, at this point in time, halachically, nobody has a marriage to aktana. Then, number two is, mina piktonot. You should avoid being the safety deposit box for people. For bar mato, de baite ki baite, Tommy. The case here is a case where it's his fellow citizen of the city, fellow member of the city, and where his house is like your house. You guys are friends, he walks in, he walks out, he's there all the time, coming in and out. So Rashi over here says the fear is that he will come into your house, take back his pikadon, because he feels at home in your house, and then he'll come back and claim the pikadon again. So nobody will suspect that he was there because he came in, he's always there all the time, he took his pikadon back, and now he's going to come make a second claim against you and say, where's my pikadon? So because of that, don't take pikadonot with people that live locally and are going to be in and out of your house. That's the way Rashi explains it. Others explain it in this case, which is, if his house is like your house in the city, and it's just as secure in his house as it is in your house, then don't do it. Just leave it with him. Don't take it. There's no reason for you to take the pikadon. Minei ravon, you should avoid being the collateralizer, the guarantor of a loan. Ba'arvei shotzion. It's the arevut, guarantors of shotzion. Rashi says either that's the name of the place, or that's the name of the type of guarantee. That type of guarantee, or in that place, they did not go to the debtor first, they went to the guarantor first. So you're on the line right away. You think you're doing something good, which is that you're guaranteeing the loan on behalf of this loveh. The problem is that when he defaults, they're not even going to bother to go after the debtor. They're going to go straight to the guarantor. And you're putting yourself in a predicament, which is going to be difficult. So again, here, you think you're doing something good by guaranteeing the loan and being a gomel ches. In the end, you're going to be on the hook for it because you're not the second stop after the loveh. They're going to make the first stop by you. And that's going to cause you problems. The same thing with piktonot before. You thought you were doing something good by being a safety deposit box. Either it's just as good in his house, so don't bother. Or he's going to come make a claim against you and you're going to end up losing out on money after you think you're doing something good over here. As I said before, the common denominator between them was this idea that there might be something good that you're doing. In each case, that's not, there's a mitigating factor or there's something that we say don't do it. On the other hand, the other explanation was that it was 3 versus 3. Which is that each of the items is the opposite of the other items. So if we go back to the list here, you have the case where he said the things that are good. Number one that was good is do chalitza, which goes against meyun. We don't like meyun, but we do like chalitza. So even though meyun and chalitza are doing the same thing, which is the dismissal of a connection here, meyun we discourage, chalitza we encourage. The next one is havat shalom. We encourage peacemaking, but we don't encourage piktonot. Even though piktonot would be a type of havat shalom, you're helping out your buddy, you're doing something for your buddy. Nevertheless, we do not encourage piktonot, but we do encourage havat shalom. Arvanot versus hafarat nidarim. Again, over there, you would think that warranting a product is something good. If that's the case, why isn't the nether a good thing? Because a nether is like the equivalent to a warranty. It's saying that I'm going to do something. Say no, don't keep that type of warranty. I mean, Arvanot, stay away from this type of eravon. So again, the idea being that the opposite, that certain times we would say that better to unwind an eravon, and in the other case, don't get into an eravon. Two things that are up against each other. We're telling you that if you become a guarantor, that you're going to have to live by your word, and it's going to get you into trouble. On the other hand, by Nidarim, we're telling you, unwind the nether so that you do not have to uphold it. In the end, we're suggesting the same thing for both of them. Don't get involved in these types of promises, because they will be binding. One of them you can unwind, and we're telling you that you should be unwinding the other as well. In certain cases, we're going to tell you, do this. In certain cases, we're going to say, don't do this. Now the Gemara continues and says, Tam Rab Yitzchak, my dichtiv, what is meant by the pasuk? Ra, iroa, ki arav zar. Ra'a, achar ra'a tavo. Bad after bad will come. The mikablei gerim. For those that accept, gerim. Ula arvei shel tzion. And those guarantors of shel tzion. Again, the one that we just talked about. Ula tokei atzmo ledvar halacha. And someone who puts himself up in a dvar halacha, we'll see in a second what that means. Mikablei gerim. What's the problem with accepting gerim? Kerevi chelbo. The Amar Rabbi Chelbo, we saw this earlier in the Masechta, Kashim Gerim Yisrael Kasapachat Be'or. Gerim are difficult for Israel, like a nega on the skin, like a lesion of some sort, or a scabbing on the skin of an individual. So we discussed this earlier in the Masechta about why this is the case. Most people view this as being negative, which is, this is negative about the Gerim. The one positive interpretation of this is that when the Gerim, and this was brought by the Tosafot, by Avram Ager, brought this explanation, which was the Gerim, when they convert, are like Balei Tshuva. They are more makpid on the mitzvot than people who grew up as being religious their whole lives. And therefore, they're going to cause problems for Bnei Yisrael. There's going to be a kitchuk on Bnei Yisrael because these people are, look, they came into the fold so late and they keep the mitzvot better than you. And that's going to cause problems for Bnei Yisrael. So that's a positive view of the Gerim. Another way, the way Rashi views it, and this is a more mainstream view, is that the Gerim are not makpid on the mitzvot. They're not knowledgeable enough to be makpid on the mitzvot, or they still have parts of their old culture with them, and they're going to influence people from Klal Yisrael, and therefore they're going to be a negative influence within Klal Yisrael. That's a more mainstream view over here. And we saw other views, but those are the two main views, one to the negative and one to the positive about what this means. Tosafot over here says that this idea of Mikabel Gerim over here is not across the board that it's problematic or it's ra chara, but at Omari, Dainu Heichu Shemesino Tan Leit Gayer. Oh, Shemekabelino Tan Miyad. That's only in the case where either a gear comes and we accept them immediately, or we're proselytizing and we bring in a gear. Those are problematic types of gerim that cause ra achara. Because either we're going out and proselytizing, which we don't believe in. We don't go and encourage people to convert to Judaism. And so then we're bringing them in and they're going to be a bad influence or it's a bad reason for bringing them in. Or number two is we accept them without vetting whether they are really want to be gerim. But if they themselves of their own volition are pushing and really want to be gerim, then we should accept them because they're coming of their own volition and they clearly want to be gerim because they're pressing on us to be gerim. And so obviously this has major impact today and the controversy about gerut, about how much time one needs to wait to ensure that the ger is really truthfully and really wants to be a ger. So you have to find the balance between pushing against the ger, converting, versus turning him off and totally making it miserable for him in the process of conversion. And that's much of the controversy around the situation of Gerut in Eretz Yisrael today. Arvei Shel Tzion. What's the problem with these guarantors of Shel Tzion? The Avdei Shalof Dots. Because basically they pull out from something that's been put into the ground. Dots means to place something into the ground, take a stake and place it into the ground and make it solid in the ground. Shalof means to pull it out. So over here, you as the guarantor, which was, you were coming here to make it something strong and to uphold it, Shalof, they're going to pull it out because you're going to be the one on the hook. They're not going after the debtor. They're going straight after you. And that's problematic. That's bad for you. You went ahead and guaranteed it. And now you're in a worse position because they're coming after you for the money. So now the explanation then in the pasuk is racha ra tavo. So the one is ki, arev zar. Arev over there was, comes from like eruv rav, which means the acceptance or the mixing in of gerim. Or the word arev is like a ravon, is like a guarantor. So that's number two. And now number three is tokei atzmo ledvar halacha. What is tokei atzmo ledvar halacha? Detanya, Rabbi Yossi, Amer, Kol Amer, in lo Torah. Anybody who says he doesn't have Torah, in lo Torah. He doesn't have Torah. So Gemara says, pshita. What do you mean? Of course, if he says in lo Torah, then he doesn't get any schar for learning Torah. If he says, I'm not going to learn Torah, he won't get schar for learning Torah. Gemara says, pshita. What's the question here? Ela, Kol Amer, in lo elo Torah. Anybody who says that I only have Torah, Ein lo elo Torah. Then we have Torah. Hanami pshita. That's also true. So a person says that I'm only going to learn Torah, then he will only have the reward of Torah. So that's right. If you say I'm going to learn Torah, you're going to get the schar for learning Torah. So Gemara says, Ela afilu Torah ein lo. Even the reward of Torah he doesn't have. What is happening here is, the guy says, I'm going to learn Torah. I want the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. I'm going to learn Torah, Yomam Valayla. Only one little thing. I don't plan on keeping anything I learn. I'm not going to keep the mitzvah. I'm learning the Torah, but I'm not going to do what I learned. I'm not going to carry out what I'm learning. So you would have thought your Havamina is that a person who does that is learning Torah. He'll get the reward, the schar of Limud Torah. He just won't get the schar for the masim. He won't get the schar or maybe be punished for doing something wrong, but he will still keep his schar Torah. The answer is no. Which means that person who says, I'm going to learn and not keep the halachot, he not only does he lose out on the halachot, he loses out on the Torah that he learned as well. My time, Amra Papa, Amra Kroa, because the pasuk says, Vilamadatem ve'asitem, that you learn them, and you do. Koshi yeshno ba'asiya, anybody who does, yeshno belimida, then he can learn, he gets the reward of learning. Koshi eno ba'asiya, person doesn't do any doing, eno belimida, then he doesn't get any reward for learning the Torah. The learning of the Torah has to be lemaseh. It has to be that it has practical impact on you. If it doesn't have practical impact on you, then the learning is not learning of Torah, because Torah is for action. And you're not taking action based on what you're learning, then you won't get reward for that limud ha-Torah. That comes out of the latter half of the pasuk, which Rashi says, Otukei atzmo is sefer Torah. V'sonei tokim boteach. That they hate those that are tokim boteach, that blow their trumpet as if they're all good and everything's fine. So that they do. They learn Torah and think everything's fine, even though they're not doing the right thing. So that's why that's also included in this pasuk of ra, chara, tavoda him. Not only does he have ra for not doing it, he's also going to have ra because his limud Torah is not going to help him in this case because he didn't learn Torah in order to do. That's not lo lishma over here. He's learning particularly not to do the mitzvot. It's not even lo lishma, it's not even limud Torah. Lo lishma means that you do something neutral. I don't think it's a neutral action anymore, that's what the Gemara is saying. The lo lishma means that I do it for ulterior motives, but I still plan on keeping what's in the Torah. Here he's not even planning on keeping the Torah. It's like an intellectual pursuit. That doesn't even reach lo lishma over here. Where it says, V'ibay teima l'olam kidam rito mi'ikara. It's like what we said originally. Komar ein lo elo Torah, ein lo elo Torah. Someone says, I only have Torah, I only get Torah. So lo tzricha dekamagamer le'achrinai v'azle v'avde. Because it's a case where he teaches others and they go ahead and they do. So ma'da teima itle agra l'didei. Maybe he'll get credit for the others doing it. Kamash Milan, that he doesn't get credit for it. So even though he is learning Torah and then teaching Torah, you would have thought not only does he get credit for the learning of Torah, but his teaching of Torah, which precipitates doing by other people, he'll get the credit for the doing as well. Kamash Milan, that we do not say that in this case. Tosafot says, Tema, don't we have a principle that's brought down in the Gemara in Yoma? Anybody who gives merit to the Rabbim, to the public at large, he will be protected from sinning. Why? Because how could it be that his Talmidim are in Gan Eden and he is in Gehinom? I mean, he, Mizak, all these people would be Gan Eden, Mitam, their Rebbe is sitting in Gehinom. So it can't be that way. So it must be the fact that he was Mizakeh, the Rabbim, will protect him and he won't do a chait. So over here too, if he's teaching others and doing a Maisa, then he's Mizakeh others. How can then it be negative towards him? So Tosafot says over here, Shema heicha shura mitchila, kodem shmlameid acharim, hatam loshaya chaitama. If a person is bad apple from the beginning, maybe that doesn't matter. If a person's good, teaches others, and then they go ahead and do more good, they're mezake the rabbim, then they'll be protected against doing a chait because they were good when they taught. But if they were a bad apple before they started, when they're still teaching this Torah, then it doesn't afford them the protection. Just because they were bad before, it's going to afford them protection. They just continue to be bad like they were before. And he brings evidence of that from Rabbi Meir and Acher. Rabbi Meir learned Torah from Acher. And despite the fact that Rabbi Meir was Zoche, Acher ends up in Gehinom. Why is that? Because Acher was a bad apple before that. Before he ever started teaching Torah to Rabbi Meir, he was already a bad apple. That's what we saw described in the Gemara, that when Acher was walking around, he used to have Greek songs on his mouth, and he used to have minut pouring out of his pockets. He had all these things that were bad even when he was learning Torah. So that already, he was bad before this happened. That's how Tosafot solves that problem. That is, talking about a judge, the ata dina lekame, that a case comes before him, begomer alocha, and he had learned the alocha, umidame milta la milta, and he extrapolates from what he knows to this case over here. So well, we should be proud of him. He learned something and he's able to apply what he learned. Even though it's not the exact case, he's able to extrapolate it. Problem is that he has a Rebbe still around. And he has the ability to ask his Rebbe. So instead of asking his Rebbe, he goes in and says, oh, you know, I can extrapolate from this to this din, and therefore here's the halacha, and he passes the halacha without going back to his Rebbe. Over here, he should go back to his Rebbe when he has the opportunity to go back to his Rebbe and check to make sure this is a proper extrapolation over here. Damar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonatan, Olam Yir'e Dayan Atzmo Kilu Cherib Munachad Lo Ben Yechotav. A Dayan should always look at it as if there's a sword sitting between his thighs. And get him is open below him. He's got to have fear. A dayan can't paskin out of haughtiness, out of a feeling or a sense of confidence. He has to be afraid that he's going to make a mistake. He has to be scared. So scared that it looks like there's a pit open below him and there's a sword right over his head. And he's got to make the right decision. Shenemar, hinei mitato shishlomo shishim giborim savivla. The bed of Shlomo has 60 armed soldiers around it. Mi gibori Israel, from amongst those of the strong men, the army of Israel. Mi pachad b'leilot, from the fear of nights. Mi pachad shel gehinom, shedome l'layla, from the fear of gehinom, which is similar to nighttime. That's what it means, mi pachad b'leilot. So the way Rashi interprets it over here, giborim are the dayanim. And shlishlomo is asha shalom shalom, means God. So that's the way it is. That hine mitato shlomo. So I mean the mitah of God. Rashi over here at Enin Sened explains and that it's talking about the Lishkat HaGazit. Shishim Gavrim Sivla, the Dayanim are around it. Dayanim from the Lishkat HaGazit. Mipachad b'leilot. And they're fearful of falling in Gehinom. That's when they're the Dayanim, which we could look like they're having the Shekhinah's presence or they're standing before God. When they do this, they have to be fearful, mipachad b'leilot, from the pachad of Gehinom. They have to worry about the fact that they might do something wrong and they have to be very careful about what they are doing. Tosfot says, no, maybe it's talking about the Shishim Ribo Shel Yisrael Kai. The Shishim Giborim, that doesn't mean they reference the Dayanim or the Lishkat HaGazit, but rather references the multitudes of Klal Yisrael. Multitudes of Klal Yisrael are depending on them, and therefore they have to seem or feel as if Gehinom is open below them. Gemara continues, Rav Gamliel Omer Imiana. By Minei Rabbi Elazar Mi Rav. Elazar queried Rav, my time of Rabbi Gamliel. Why does Rabbi Gamliel think that we allow her to perform miyun if she does perform miyun? If she doesn't, we let her wait until she grows up and consummates the marriage d'oraita. Mishum de kazavar kiddushei ktana mitla talu. Does it because he thinks that the kiddushin v'ktana are basically conditional? They're waiting v'chi gadla gadli ba'ado. In that they are conditioned on the fact that he will consummate the midoraita when she becomes of age. So avagav de lo baal. Even though he never has bia with her, because as soon as he gets to of age, that's the condition of the kiddushin. When she's of age, she then affirms what she did when she was a ktana. Odilma mislim to savar makadesh achot yivama niftara yivama v'halchala. That person is makadesh, the sister of a yivama. The yivama is then released. So then ibal, if he has bia with her in, because now he married the sister of the yivama. Iloba olo, but if he doesn't have beer with her, then there's no consummation of the marriage over here, and it's not a kiddushin with the yivama. So the question that he's posing here is, do you need bia? Once she becomes of age, is it automatic now, and then the yivama is released? Or does he have to have bia with her? The question being, does he have to have a new kiddushin, basically? Does he need a new kiddushin when he becomes of age? Is the bia that he has with her when she comes of age function both as the kiddushin and the nisuin d'oraita, and that's the official consummation of the marriage? Or do we say the kiddushin, when she was a ktana, were effective, they just have a built-in t'nai that they're waiting for her to become of age? When she comes of age, automatically that affirms the action that she took when she was a ktana, and the original kiddushin were kiddushin. So that's the question here. When does the kiddushin of the ktana take effect? Are the kiddushin of the ktana, from the moment she accepts the kiddushin, they're just waiting for a t'nai built in there for her to become of age? Or do the kiddushim of k'tana mean nothing until she becomes of age and she has new kiddushim when she comes of age? Nafkamina being whether she has to have bia when she comes of age. If you think there's a new kiddushin over here, you need bia over here to generate the new kiddushin. If you think it's the original kiddushin, she just needs to become of age and that will affirm what she did earlier. So Amalei, hainu taima de Rabbi Gamliel. I'll explain to you the reason behind Rabbi Gamliel. Mishum t'kazavar. Mekadesh achot yivama niftara yivama v'hal chala. So I think that the reason is because the kiddushin is you have a new kiddushin when she comes of age, and that's done through the biyah. Therefore, ibal in, ilo baal lo. Only if he performs biyah with her will that terminate the issue of yivama. he doesn't have bia with her, that will not terminate the issue of Yevama, because there was no kiddushin when she became of age. So Amrav Sheshet, Amina, Kinai Mishochiv Rav, Amar Lahai Shmaitita. When Rabbi Elazar challenged Rav about this, and then Rav gave this answer, Rav Sheshet says, Rav must have been dozing off when he said this. There's no way I can believe that he said this. Titania, Hamakadeshet Ktana, Kiddushet Tluin. Here you have it explicitly, that a person who has kiddushin with the Ktana, the kiddushin are held in abeyance until she comes of age. My Tluin. What does Tluin mean? Lav ki gadla, gadle ba'ada. That when she becomes of age, that is the automatic affirmation of the original kiddushin. Fafakam to abau, even though there's no bia. Samalei, Ravin, Breda Rav Nachman. Ha milta, diktana, milta, talia v'kaima, ibal in, ilo ba'alo. So Rav Nachman says, no, don't explain it this way, that the original kiddushin are what are hanging out until she becomes of age. We'd rather. Ha milta, diktana, mitla talia. The words or the action of the ktana are waiting. V'kaima, ibal in, ilo ba'alo. That if she has bia later on, then that will consummate or reaffirm this kiddushin. Where if he didn't have bia, then there's no new kiddushin. Damrahu adif minai, vana adifna minai. Because she says, I'm a little better than him, and he is a little better than me. I am a little better than him because I can perform mayun over here and dissolve the marriage. So I can walk away from this even against his will. He has a little advantage over me, which is that he can give me a get and divorce me at any time that he so chooses. So therefore, only until the time of bi'ah is when the marriage comes into effect. The ketana, when she takes kiddushin at the moment that she's ketana, doesn't really accept, think that this is real kiddushin. There's too much risk in this kiddushin, because she can walk away and he can walk away. She can walk away through mayon, he can walk away through a get. And therefore, she doesn't vest any real value in the kiddushin when she's a ktana. And therefore, she needs new kiddushin when she becomes of age. What generates that new kiddushin when she comes of age? That is the bi'ah that she has when she comes of age. Obviously, the mayun over here, as Tosfot points out, she can only do until she reaches the age of puberty. When she reaches the age of puberty, she's not allowed to do mayun anymore. So that is midirabbanan. They say once she becomes of age, you can't do mayun anymore. But midoraita, based on this, you'd have to wait till bia will be the terminator of her ability to mayun. She still could do mayun until she has bia, because until that point in time, the marriage is still only midrabanan until there is a bia over here. Now, Gemara says, v'savar rav ibal in ilo balo. Does Rav really think that bia is the thing that generates the new kiddushin for the kiddushei ktana when she becomes of age? Va'itmar, don't we have a statement? Ktana, shelo miana v'gdila. Ktana that never had performed mayun. Then she grew older, Vamdavini Sait. Then she grows older and gets married as Rav Amar Inat Tzricha Get Mishini. She doesn't need a get from the second husband. Ushma Amar Tzricha Get Mishini. She does need a get from the second husband. The question obviously being, when does the Kedushin take effect? If you say the Kedushin Ktana are effective and just awaiting her becoming of age to affirm it, then the first marriage is a good marriage, Midoraita, without Bia. And the second marriage over here was nothing, because she was already married. She's an Eshadish. She can't accept Nisuin from another party. On the other hand, if you believe that the Kiddushin is only generated when she has Biah, that means until that point in time, she's really not married to this guy. When she accepts Kiddushin or Nisuin from another guy, that's Doraita. This, the Kiddushin that she has here, is just like a little Durabonan thing that has really no bearing. So that would be the easiest explanation of the positions of Rav and Shmuel over here. My love, Dlo Baal, Gemara says, isn't that the case here, that was no Bia? And the difference between Rav and Shmuel is exactly this issue. Rav believes you don't need Bia to consummate the Kiddushin that took place when she was a Ktana. As soon as she becomes of age, it's consummated. Therefore, she's a real wife. No need to divorce the second man. And Shmuel says, no. No Bia here. No Kiddushin. And therefore, when she married the second guy, it was a good marriage and she needs to get from the second guy. The Gemara says, no. De Baal. It's a case where they already had Bia. Idabal, my time in Shmuel. If she already had bia with her husband that she had kiddushin with him when she was a ktana, then you have a consummated marriage, midoraita. So then why would Shmuel say you need a get from the second husband? She's an Eshadish. Why would you need a get from the second husband? Kasavar, kolo boel, adat kiddushim rishonimu boel. Shmuel says when a person has bia, they rely on the original kiddushin. And the original kiddushin here were when she was a ktana. So the problem here, according to Shmuel, is that when she has bia, then does the bia consummate this doraita? How will it consummate a Doraita? He has to have in mind that this Biah is a Biah of Kiddushin, as well as the Biah of Nisuin, and that'll consummate Doraita. But if he does this Biah relying on the original Kiddushin, or she has this Biah relying on the original Kiddushin, there's really no consummation because you don't have Kiddushin Doraita. You skipped over Kiddushin and went to Nisuin, but there really isn't Nisuin because you didn't have Kiddushin yet. So that's what Shmuel says the problem is. The problem is that he's not explicitly stating that there is Kiddushin here through this Biah, and therefore everyone's relying on the original Kiddushin, which were not real Kiddushin. It was done when she was a Ketana. And that's why Shmuel says you get a get from the Sheni, because this marriage was not consummated, even though she's a Gdola now, even though he had a Biah with her as a Gdola, that doesn't consummate the marriage because this Biah is tracked to the original Kiddushin, which had no meaning. And that means this Biah also doesn't have any meaning. Therefore, there's a mistaken premise here. That mistaken premise makes it that there is no marriage midoraita yet, and therefore she takes Kiddushin from another party. That causes a problem over here. All right, we're going to stop here. Three lines down on the top of Kuf Yud Amud Aleph. The Gemara tomorrow is going to say that they already argued about this point. And why do I need them to argue about this point twice? And so that's what the continuation of the Gemara will deal with in tomorrow's daf.